After we recorded our interview with Tommy Chong, we called the Justice Department lawyer who prosecuted him, Mary Beth Buchanan. His case was part of a crackdown led by Attorney General John Ashcroft to stop businesses that sold drug paraphernalia over the Internet. The crackdown was part of Operation Pipe Dreams. Chong spent 9 months in prison because of his connection to his son's Internet business, which specialized in selling bongs made of blown glass, many of which had an image of Tommy Chong's face. What is the law that Tommy Chong was prosecuted under?
He was prosecuted for offering for sale and selling items of drug paraphernalia. When we conducted this investigation, it was our goal to identify every major site on the Internet that was supplying items of drug paraphernalia. So we identified as many as we could, and we investigated and then charged the largest national distributors. And the operation that Thomas Chong had been associated with, Chong Glass, was one of those. Thomas Chong was the primary investor. He was also actively involved in the operations, in the marketing of the product.
The assistant prosecutor on this case, Mary Houghton, said by quote that Tommy Chong had become wealthy by quote glamorizing the illegal use and distribution of marijuana and trivializing law enforcement efforts to combat drug use. And she was referring there, I think, to his movies and CDs. Did the fact that he was famous for drug humor make him more of a target, or did the fact that the movies made fun of cops as well as making fun of drug users?
His prior conduct, being involved in comedy or other endeavors, didn't make him a target. What made him a target was operating an illegal business.
If the assistant prosecutor used that quote about how he'd become wealthy glamorizing the illegal use of marijuana and trivializing law enforcement efforts to combat drug use, if she used that in her closing argument, I don't know, it seems like she was trying to make a connection there between why he should be convicted.
Well, in this case, Thomas Chong admitted to the illegal conduct that he was charged with. In fact, he admitted to the conduct before the matter was even presented to the grand jury. So he never at any time disputed that he was involved in illegal activity. The statement that you referred to was information that the assistant prosecutor made known to the district court judge at the time of the guilty plea and at the time of sentencing. When a judge considers what type of sentence to impose, one of the factors that the court considers is really the seriousness of the crime, the extent of the harm, and whether the individual who has acknowledged guilt is remorseful for the criminal conduct. And in this case, shortly after Chong did admit his guilt, he made statements that were contrary to that. And those are things that the district court can properly take into consideration in deciding what is the appropriate sentence upon conviction.
Now, the Justice Department set up a sting in Pennsylvania, a fake head shop. Do I have that right?
The investigation began really in the early 2000 in Pittsburgh, when we identified some local businesses who were obtaining products from some of these national distributors. And so we began with one particular business in Pittsburgh and then identified multiple businesses throughout the country.
My understanding is that undercover agents, DEA agents, went to the Chong factory in California, bought about $5,000 worth of merchandise, then convinced someone from the company to mail it to this fake head shop in Pennsylvania, even though it was against Chong company policy to mail their goods to Pennsylvania, because they thought, if I understand this correctly, that it was illegal in Pennsylvania, or though it was either illegal, more illegal in Pennsylvania, or they were more likely to be prosecuted if they sent anything to Pennsylvania. But then the undercover agents asked for special treatment. They said, look, you've met us, we're okay, please do us this favor. Now, if agents asked the Chong company to mail the materials to Pennsylvania, and if the company declined, saying, we don't mail to Pennsylvania, they've really cracked down there, we don't mail to there, and if the undercover agents in the sting operation persisted and said, please, you've met us, do us a favor, please mail it. Would that be entrapment?
It certainly would not be. Many people are confused by that term, entrapment. In order for a defendant to be able to claim that as a defense, the defendant would have to show that they were not otherwise predisposed to commit the crime. In this case, the selling of drug paraphernalia anywhere in the country is illegal. Even if a particular defendant is trying to avoid being caught, and they are, you know, persuaded to violate their, you know, general policies, that would not amount to entrapment because they were otherwise predisposed to commit the crime.
Can you just clarify one aspect of the law for me? If I were selling a pipe and somebody used it for marijuana, but I said, well, I'm selling this for tobacco, would I be liable under the law?
Well, the issue under federal law is not necessarily what someone might do with your product, but it's what the product was intended for. Certain pipes, it's my understanding, that they are made to be used for tobacco products, and other types of pipes are intended and produced for the purpose of using marijuana. And it is those types of instruments that are specifically defined as drug paraphernalia under federal law.
So that's why you're going after bongs?
Bongs are a specifically listed item under the drug paraphernalia statutes.
Just one more thing about the bongs. I understand that bongs are more likely to be used for smoking marijuana or hash, but even if somebody didn't have, like, their favorite bong, if they wanted to get high, there's so many other options of things that they could use to smoke whatever it is they want to smoke. So how effective is it, finally, as a way to kind of crack down on the use of drugs? How effective is it to go after bong people who are selling bongs?
What I can tell you is that multiple million items were seized and destroyed in connection with this investigation. So all of those items are no longer available for illegal drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, regardless of whether there might be other, other types of, devices that could be used, these illegal products that were the subject of this investigation no longer exist. And the people who are profiting by the sale of these illegal items are out of business.
What's the status of this operation now, Operation Pipe Dream, which is going after the selling of drug paraphernalia?
At the time these cases were brought in 2003, every distributor who was identified was prosecuted. Each of those, I believe it was approximately 35 defendants, have been either found guilty or pled guilty of their offenses. They have been sentenced, and most have completed their prison terms. We continue to monitor this activity, and certainly if future violations occur, it is most likely that they will be prosecuted.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Mary Beth Buchanan is a Justice Department lawyer. She prosecuted Tommy Chong of the duo Cheech and Chong, who we heard from earlier on the show.